Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Ava, the editor-in-chief of the journal, coming to you from what's likely the end of an incredible hot spell here in Vancouver. I have the pleasure today, though, of speaking with somebody who knows something about heat, given that he's a Floridian. Matthew Hackett is Science and Technology Manager in University of Central Florida in their Modeling and Simulation Department, and also is part of the Army Research Laboratory in their Simulation and Training Technology Center. We'll be discussing a paper that he and his co-authors have coming out in the November 2018 issue of Medical Education, called The Effect of Autostereoscopic Holograms on Anatomical Knowledge, a Randomized Trial. Matthew, I didn't even ask you. I assume that you're boiling down there in Florida, probably more so than we are up here in Vancouver.
Thankfully, we are fairly lucky. It hasn't been too hot, but then again, I guess that's by Florida standards, and we kind of get used to the heat down here.
So I've already named the title of your paper, The Effect of Autostereoscopic Holograms. For many of us who don't use this technology, it likely sounds very science fictional. Can I start by asking you to describe simply what an autostereoscopic hologram is in your context?
Sure. So the easiest way to describe it is it kind of looks like a transparency sheet, if you're familiar with those, and we actually print the hologram onto it using a set of very high-powered lasers. And to see the visual effect, you just need a light, and then that allows you to see in 3D without the need for any glasses. So autostereoscopic is just a fancy way of saying 3D visualization without the need for any 3D glasses. So the holograms are actually a result of a program that came out of DARPA, which is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. They actually developed the holograms to help with things like terrain visualization. So rather than looking at a topographical map, which if you've ever seen one looks like a lot of squiggly lines, they wanted to be able to visualize it in a more intuitive way. So they developed these holograms in conjunction with the Army Research Laboratory. And we did all the tests and found that they're very cognitively efficient for doing things like route planning or mission rehearsal. You not only plan a route more quickly, but you plan a more efficient route in terms of traversing terrain. So we thought this is probably a really good candidate technology to implement in other fields, with the first field being medical.
So the person looking at this can literally walk around it and see it from a variety of angles in its full form, or what are the limitations in terms of what one's able to see as you make these projections?
Sure. So the answer is it depends on how we print them. So we can print them in various orientations. We can print them to sort of sit on a table. We can print them to sit on a wall. In the case of a wall, you have roughly not a full 180 degree field of view, but pretty close to it. As you move too far to one way or the other, eventually you will lose the effect. But I would say if you have a hologram that's meant to be viewed vertically, like on a wall or on an easel, you probably have somewhere in the range of 130 degree field of view. So you get pretty good field of view, and as you move around, you are seeing different things. So I always use the example, if we have the hologram of a car and you're standing on the left, you might be looking at the front of the car and the headlights, and as you move around to the right, you would then see the trunk of the car and the rear taillights.
Hmm. And is this technology particularly expensive or difficult to use? How does one actually go about printing these things?
So the printing is not inexpensive. It typically costs us right now roughly in the range of $100 per print. It can be a little bit more expensive if we have a really large hologram or a very complex one. It does tend to have economies of scale. If we're printing the same hologram hundreds of times, it becomes much easier. The first one is always the most difficult whenever we're printing a new hologram. In general, in terms of use, it's relatively easy. You just need a bright light to be able to see that effect. And we tend to package them in a viewing frame that has a light built in. The lighting in general is pretty straightforward and pretty easy to use.
And is it the sort of thing that's stable once it's printed? You can reuse it for many students? Or when you say it's cheaper to print 100 of them, how many models would you need if you were to, say, trying to use them to help a class of medical students?
Sure. So when we implemented these in the Department of Combat Medic training, they wanted a set of holograms for visualizing difficult births, breech births, and things like that. So we printed them relatively large holograms that were probably 2.5 feet on the diagonal, square holograms, and then they use them in small groups. So they print them up, then there's groups of 4 to 6. So we printed them, I think, a total of about 8 holograms, which allows them to very easily cover their class, which is roughly 30 kids. For smaller holograms or more individualized work, it really depends on the numbers that you have running through. We see these as an adjunct to traditional anatomical education, just a different way to engage students rather than simply looking at computer-based models. Or if you don't have the infrastructure to have a cadaver-based lab, this would be a nice addition for those programs.
And any cost issues currently, if it follows every other technology, will likely subside over time as they become more popular anyway. So the technology itself may not be a hang-up for long, but with many new technologies, they're promoted as being the answer to educational problems. And you know, oftentimes it's not the technology itself, but the way in which it's used. And so I'm wondering if you can share with our listeners some of your thoughts around why you thought this was something that would be particularly valuable for helping students learn anatomical knowledge above and beyond the more traditionally available mediums.
Sure. So I think one of the big facets to this is human vision in general obviously is in 3D, and we've compressed much of that with computer-based learning because nearly every computer display that's out there, your desktop monitor most likely, is a 2D display. And you can see a 3D model on it, but you're losing that visible depth. And that's a very powerful cue for learning and understanding anything in terms of spatial geometry. And obviously, anatomy is very complex in the 3D domain. So we thought that this would be a terrific candidate to see if there really is a difference between, you know, what we call monoscopic 3D, which is a 3D model on a 2D screen, like a computer-based model, and stereoscopic 3D, which is a 3D model that you have that additional depth cue, which is visible depth. You also hit on the fact that technology is rapidly changing. We think that these print holograms are a terrific tool right now, but down the line, ideally you would be able to interact, you would be able to peel layers away, you would be able to put labels up and take them off, and really have an interactive display. And there are holographic displays out there right now and being researched right now, which can do that, but they're all very much in what I would call the laboratory phase or early research phases, where they're not really ready for human performance studies. They're still much more on the fundamental engineering design to get them to work. As those come to fruition, I think that we'll see that that kind of autostereoscopic 3D shows similar benefits to what was demonstrated in this study.
Yeah, and actually maybe that should lead us to describe for listeners who haven't seen the paper yet what those benefits were. So it was fairly straightforward randomized controlled trial, and you just named the groups you were comparing the hologram version to the monoscopic 3D to more traditional 2D print images. Why did you choose cardiac anatomy as the domain in which you were going to do this test?
Sure. So part of that came from our target population. They said that cardiac is one of their units of instruction and that they felt like it was suitably complex in the 3D domain and that a lot of their students sometimes struggled, especially in terms of understanding the relationship between the valves and the various chambers of the heart and how the blood flows through there. And some of their students just struggled with that. So we felt like it was an appropriate place to try a technology augmentation after consulting with their instructors. So I should mention that these participants were nursing participants. So this would be the equivalent of licensed practical nurses, LPNs. So when we looked at these three things, we chose cardiac anatomy, and we came in to students who were relatively naive to it. So we did a pretest to make sure that they weren't experts from some external source. They were EMTs before or something like that. In general, they were all very naive and had not had exposure to much cardiac anatomy. And that was evident from overall failure on the pretest. Then they all had a study period with the holograms. where they, as you mentioned, were randomized. They were blinded to the other visualization. So if you were in the holograms group, you didn't know that another group was looking at computer models. If you were in the paper group, you didn't know that the holograms even existed. Then afterwards, they took a cognitive load instrument. We chose the NASA TLX. It's very well validated and very reliable, especially for what we were most interested in, which was mental effort. And then finally, they took the post-test. And so to briefly summarize our studies, we found that on the post-test, the students who used the holograms were significantly more proficient in cardiac anatomical knowledge. The median score was 80, whereas the median for the other two groups was 67. And in terms of mental effort, we saw that the students who used the printed image on paper had a much higher mental effort than the students who studied using computer-based models or the 3D models on holograms.
Yeah, so everything looks very promising and positive, and that one of the outcomes you didn't measure that could potentially influence is motivation. I imagine that your students felt some enthusiasm playing with this new technology. Is it actually sort of fun to interact with?
Yes, so we certainly believe that there was the quote-unquote wow factor was there. We gave all of the students an opportunity to see the holograms afterwards, and the number of students who said, oh, I would love to have this to study X, Y, Z was tremendous. They all felt like it was a great way to visualize things, and I think because it's such a different way and such a unique way that very few people have been exposed to, it really did garner a lot of attention and certainly seemed to be a very engaging mechanism for students to learn with.
Well, and as you know, but others won't, there's another paper being published in the same issue in November 2018. It looks at similar issues from a different perspective and across a series of 7 different conditions tries to tease apart when you get benefit from a particular anatomical model and when you don't. And both papers align really nicely with this notion, as you suggest, about three-dimensional audio stereoscopic opportunities being critically important to understanding spatial relationships. So it's, again, some really nice consistency between a variety of works and clearly opening up understanding that I think we've been struggling with for many years in terms of what are the key ingredients of different mediums that might yield some benefit. So what's next for you? Where do you go with this, given, as you said, that the technology is changing all the time and the wow factor at some point wears off, although I imagine it'll be a little while before that happens?
So we're very interested in how personal characteristics like visual spatial ability play into these kinds of results. There's some research out there that suggests that students who have low innate visual spatial ability may have improved benefit from these kinds of displays, potentially allowing them to open up new fields that they might not have been as suitable for simply because they struggle visualizing certain things. We also think that based on the technology maturation that's out there and the things that are quickly hitting the commercial sector, especially things like augmented reality, play a key role and will certainly be influential in medical education moving forward. But those have been relatively seldom studied as well. And while they're not strictly auto-stereoscopic 3D, augmented reality has a very interesting visualization mechanism. The ability to overlay a 3D visual onto your physical surroundings is certainly a powerful tool. You could imagine overlaying it onto a cadaver or some sort of medical mannequin. That is tremendous for understanding the relationship between surface anatomy and underlying anatomy, and we think that's a really, really ripe area for research as well.
And I couldn't agree more. I really can't wait to see how this evolves. It is the sort of work, I think, that typifies the notion that not only are you, you're testing the practical relevance of these things, but it's giving us some insights into just why this technology seems to have benefits over more traditional forms. So I'll thank you for the submission and the work, and as I said, I look forward to seeing how it plays out.
Well, thank you very much. It was a pleasure to speak with you.
Yeah, you as well. And I'll just close by reminding those listening that I've been speaking with Matthew Hackett, and the paper that we've been talking about is called The Effect of Audiostereoscopic Holograms on Anatomical Knowledge, a Randomized Trial, which can be found in the November 2018 issue of Medical Education. Thanks again, Matthew, and good luck with the fall semester.
Thank you very much.